R2-D2's sensing devices were busily sending impulses to his electronic nerve ends. Where was his master? He aimed his optical sensors in the direction of a strange little mud house on the edge of a dark lake, and then moved closer to the window of the tiny abode. Inside the miniature house, everything was perfectly scaled to its tiny resident. Luke Skywalker sat cross-legged on the dried mud floor, careful not to bang his head against the low ceiling. There was a table in front of him, and he could see a few containers holding what appeared to be handwritten scrolls. The wrinkled-faced creature was in his kitchen. "I told you," Luke impatiently reminded his host. "I'm not hungry."
"Oh, patience," the creature said. "It's time to eat."
"Well, it smells good," Luke said politely. "But I don't know why we can't see Yoda now."
"Be patient. Soon you will see him. Why wish you become a Jedi?"
"Because of my father, I guess," Luke answered.
"Oh, your father,"
the creature said, a curious look in its eyes, and sat down to begin his vast meal.
"A powerful Jedi was he. Powerful Jedi."
"How could you know about my father?" Luke asked a little angrily. "You don't even know who I am." The creature turned away from Luke and began talking to a corner of the room.
"This will not do. I cannot teach him. The boy has no patience."
Luke turned with a start. "Cannot teach. No patience." And then the truth became as plain to him as the deep lines on the little creature's face. Already he was being tested by none other than Yoda himself. From the empty corner of the room, Luke heard the gentle, wise voice of Ben Kenobi. "He will learn patience."
"Much anger in him,"
the dwarfish Jedi teacher persisted.
"Like in his father."
"I can be a Jedi," Luke interrupted. "I'm ready, Ben." "Ben," he called to his invisible mentor. All he saw was Yoda sitting across from him at the table.
"What know you of ready?"
the skeptical Yoda asked.
"I have trained Jedi for 800 years. To become a Jedi takes the deepest commitment, the most serious mind."
"He can do it,"
Ben's voice said. Looking toward the invisible Kenobi, Yoda pointed at Luke.
"This one I have watched a long time. All his life he has looked away. Never his mind on where he was, on what he was doing. Adventure, excitement."
Yoda shot a glaring look at Luke.
"A Jedi craves not these things."
"He will learn," came the soothing voice of Kenobi.
"Will he finish what he begins?"
Yoda asked the invisible Kenobi.
"We've come this far. He is our only hope."
"I will not fail you," Luke said to both Yoda and Ben. "I'm not afraid."
The Jedi Master turned slowly to face Luke, and a strange little smile appeared on his blue face.
"You will be, my young one. You will be."
Only one being in the entire universe could instill fear in the dark spirit of Darth Vader. Silent and alone in his dim chamber, he waited for a visit from his own dread master. A strange electronic whine broke the dead silence of the room, and a flickering light began to glimmer on the Dark Lord's cloak. Vader immediately bowed deeply in homage. the visitor arrived in the form of a hologram that materialized before Vader and towered above him.
"You may rise, my servant," he commanded.
Immediately, Vader straightened up.
"What is thy bidding, my master?"
he asked with all the solemnity of a priest attending his god.
"There is a grave disturbance in the Force. We have a new enemy who could bring about our destruction."
"Our destruction?" Vader asked. "Who?"
"The son of Skywalker. You must destroy him, or he will be our undoing."
Skywalker? The thought was impossible. How could the Emperor be concerned with this insignificant youth?
"He's not a Jedi," Vader reasoned. "He's just a boy. The Force is strong in him,"
the Emperor insisted.
"He must be destroyed."
The Dark Lord reflected a moment.
"If he could be turned, he would be a powerful ally," he suggested.
Silently, the Emperor considered the possibility.
"Can it be done?"
he finally asked. For the first time in their meeting, Vader lifted his head to face his master directly.
"He will join us,"
he answered firmly,
"or die."
The indicator lights on the Millennium Falcon's control panel cast a soft glow on Princess Leia's face as she sat in the pilot's chair, thinking about Han. Suddenly, a movement outside the cockpit window attracted her attention. A dark shape, too shadowy to identify, streaked toward the Millennium Falcon and attached itself to the ship's front window with something that looked like a soft suction cup. Leia cautiously moved closer to peer out of the window when a set of large yellow eyes suddenly popped open and stared right back. Leia gave a start and stumbled back as she heard the scurry of feet and an inhuman screech. She raced to the ship's hold, where the Falcon's crew was finishing its work on the ship's power system.
"There's something out there," she cried.
Han looked up.
"Where?"
"Outside, in the cave."
As she spoke, she heard a sharp banging against the ship's hull. Chewbacca let out a loud bark of concern. Han moved out of the hold.
"I'm going to see what it is."
He grabbed a breath mask and pulled it down over his head. As Han walked out, the Wookiee hurried up behind him and grabbed his own face mask.
"If there's more than one," Leia said, "you're going to need help."
Outside the ship, the darkness was thick and dank. With each step the three figures took, they heard unsettling noises, squashing sounds. They moved ahead cautiously, peering as well as they could into the deep gloom. Suddenly, Chewbacca emitted a bark and pointed. A shapeless, leathery mass scurried over the top of the Millennium Falcon, apparently startled by the Wookiee's yelp. Han leveled his blaster and let the thing have it with a laser bolt. The black shape screeched, stumbled, then fell off the spaceship, landing with a thud at the princess's feet. She leaned over to get a better look.
"Looks like some kind of Minok," she said.
Han glanced quickly around the dark tunnel.
"There'll be more of them," he predicted. "They always travel in groups."
But Leia was distracted by the consistency of the tunnel floor. The floor was especially cold and seemed to cling to her feet. She stamped her foot and felt the ground give a bit beneath her heel.
"This asteroid has the strangest consistency," she said. "Look at the ground. It's not like rock at all."
Han knelt to inspect the floor more closely.
"There's an awful lot of moisture in here," he said, and looked up to study the contours of the cave.
He aimed his hand blaster at the far side, then fired toward the distant sound of a screeching Minok. As soon as he shot the bolt, the entire cavern began to shake and the ground to buckle.
"I was afraid of that,"
Let's get out of here.
Chewbacca barked in agreement and bolted toward the Millennium Falcon, Leia and Han close behind him. Chewbacca hurriedly lumbered to his seat in the cockpit as Han, next to him, began working the engine throttles. The next minute, the whine of the main engines resounded through the ship. The craft began moving forward, quickly passing the craggy walls of the tunnel.
Strap yourself in, sweetheart, Han told Leia. We're taking off.
Suddenly, Chewbacca barked in horror as he stared out the front windscreen. Directly in front of them stood a jagged white row of stalactites and stalagmites, completely surrounding the cave's entrance.
I see it, Chewie, Han shouted. Hang on.
The cave is collapsing, Leia screamed.
This is no cave.
As they came nearer, it was apparent that the white mineral formations were giant teeth, and they were beginning to close.
Chewbacca roared. Bank, Chewie!
It was an impossible maneuver, but Chewbacca responded immediately. He rolled the Millennium Falcon steeply on its side, accelerating it between two of those gleaming white fangs. As the Falcon flew from the living tunnel, the jaws clamped shut behind it. Ahead, the Millennium Falcon re-entered the deadly asteroid field. As time passed, Luke's strength and abilities increased, but it was not easy. There were lectures, hours of them, Yoda revealing the ways of the Jedi, and there were physical tests of all kinds. In one, Yoda told Luke to stand on his head. A bit awkwardly at first, Luke inverted his body and, after a few wobbly moments, was standing firmly on his hands. Hours later, his concentration had improved so much that he was able to maintain a perfect balance, even with Yoda perched on the soles of his feet. Yoda tapped Luke's leg. Slowly, carefully, Luke raised one hand off the ground, and then, concentrating, he started to lift a small rock in front of him. Untouched, it began to rise, when suddenly the R2 unit came whistling and beeping up to his youthful master. Luke collapsed, and Yoda had to jump clear. What is it, R2? Luke asked, annoyed. R2-D2 scooted to the edge of the swamp. Luke followed and saw what the little robot was trying to tell him. All but the tip of the X-Wing's nose had disappeared beneath the water's surface. Oh, no. Well, we'll never get out of here. Yoda stamped his foot.
So sure are you? Tried, have you? Always with you, it can't be done. Hear you nothing that I say?
Master, lifting rocks is one thing, but this is a little different.
No!
Yoda shouted, really angry now.
No different. The differences are in your mind. Throw them out.
Luke trusted his master. If Yoda said it could be done, then maybe he should try. Okay, he said. I'll give it a try.
No! Try not. Do. Do. Or do not. There is no try.
Luke closed his eyes and began to concentrate on the movement the X-Wing would make if it rose from the murky waters. The waters churned and gurgled and then began to bubble with the emerging nose of the X-Wing. The tip of the fighter was slowly lifting from the water. It hovered for a moment, and then sank back with a loud splash.
Ugh, I can't,
Luke said, drained and gasping for breath. It's too big.
Size has no meaning, Yoda insisted. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you?
Luke, chastened, just shook his head.
And well, you shouldn't.
The Jedi Master advised.
For my ally is the Force, and a powerful ally it is. Life creates it, and makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Yoda made a grand sweeping gesture.
Feel the force around you. It is everywhere, waiting to be felt and used.
Yoda turned and looked at the swamp, and the water began to swirl. Slowly, from the gently bubbling waters, the nose of the fighter appeared again. Luke gasped in astonishment as the X-Wing gracefully rose from its watery tomb and moved majestically toward the shore. The X-Wing seemed to float onto the beach and then gently came to a stop. Luke was humbled. He began, dazzled. I don't believe it.
That, Yoda stated emphatically, is why you fail.
Bounty hunters. Among the most reviled of the galaxy's inhabitants, this class of amoral money grubbers included members of every species. A cross-section had been summoned by Darth Vader and stood with him on the bridge of his Imperial Star Destroyer.
There will be a substantial reward for the one who finds the Millennium Falcon. You are free to use any methods necessary, but I want proof. No disintegrations.
The Sith Lord stopped his briefing as Admiral Piet hurried to his side.
My lord, he whispered ecstatically, a priority signal from Avenger. We have them.
The Avenger had spotted the Millennium Falcon the moment the freighter shot out of the enormous asteroid. The Millennium Falcon held its lead, but it was clear that the steadily pursuing ship was not about to abandon the chase. Princess Leia tensely watched the asteroids and cannon fire flaring in the blackness of space outside the cockpit windows. Carefully following the bleeping images on a tracking scope, C-3PO turned to Han.
I can see the edge of the asteroid field, sir.
Good, Han replied. Soon as we're clear, we'll kick this baby into hyperdrive.
There was an excited Wookiee bark as Chewbacca, looking out of the cockpit window, saw the asteroid density decreasing. Han brought the ship on an even keel, and in the next instant, the Falcon entered the peaceful, star-dotted silence of deep space.
Stand by for light speed, he ordered. This time they get the surprise. Hang on.
Everyone braced himself as Han pulled back on the light speed throttle. But once again, nothing happened.
Nothing.
Han frantically pulled back the throttle again. The ship maintained its sublight speed.
This isn't fair, Han exclaimed.
Chewbacca was furious and roared his fury in angry growls and barks.
Couldn't be, Han replied defensively. I checked the transfer circuits.
Sir, C-3PO interjected, we've lost the rear deflector shields. One more direct hit and we're done for.
Well, Leia said, glaring at the captain of the Millennium Falcon.
What now?
Han realized he had only one choice.
Sharp bank, Chewie, he ordered. Let's turn this bucket around.
Not even Chewbacca could fathom what Han had in mind.
Full power from the shield, Han yelled, and the Wookiee obeyed.
The princess was flabbergasted.
You're going to attack them.
He's coming in too low,
the Imperial deck officer shouted, though he could scarcely believe what he was seeing. Captain Nida and the Star Destroyer crew rushed to the Avengers Bridge to watch the suicidal approach of the Millennium Falcon.
We're going to collide, the panic-tracking officer reported. He must be insane, Captain Nida cried.
The Falcon headed straight for the bridge window. If it smashed through, the control deck would be littered with corpses.
The Avenger crew and officers fell to the floor in terror. At the last instant, the freighter veered sharply. Then, Captain Nita and his men slowly lifted their heads. All they saw outside was a peaceful ocean of stars.
"Track them," Nita ordered. "They may come around for another pass."
The tracking officer attempted to find the freighter on his scopes.
"Oh, that's strange," he muttered.
"What is it?" Nita asked.
"The ship doesn't appear on any of our scopes."
"It couldn't have disappeared," the captain said.
"Well, maybe they went into light speed at the last minute," the deck officer suggested.
There's no trace of them, sir," the tracking officer said. "The only logical explanation is that they went into light speed." Captain Nita was staggered. Just then, an aide approached.
"Sir, Lord Vader demands an update on the pursuit."
Nita braced himself.
"I am responsible for this. Get the shuttle ready. When we rendezvous with Lord Vader, I will apologize to him myself. Turn around and scan the area one more time."
The great Avenger slowly began to turn, but there was still no sign of the Millennium Falcon. The two glowing balls hovered like alien fireflies above Luke's body, lying motionless in the mud. R2-D2 leaned over him and whistled in an effort to revive him. Luke, stunned unconscious by the charges of the energy balls, did not respond. R2 extended a small metal electrode and rested it on Luke's chest. Uttering a quiet beep of concern, R2 generated a mild electrical charge, just enough to jolt Luke back to consciousness. The youth's chest heaved, and he awoke with a start. Dazed, the young Jedi student looked around him, rubbing his shoulders to ease the ache from Yoda's seeker ball's attack. Glimpsing the seekers still suspended over him, Luke scowled. He heard Yoda chuckling and turned his glare on him.
"I thought those seekers were set on stun," he exclaimed angrily.
"It would not matter were the force flowing through you," the amused Yoda answered. "Higher you'd jump, faster you'd move. Open yourself to the force, you must."
Yoda's goading words made Luke spring to his feet. He grabbed his laser sword from the mud and quickly ignited it.
"I am open to it now. I feel it. Come on, you little flying blasters."
With fire in his eyes, he posed his weapon and moved toward the seekers.
"No, no. This will not do. Anger is what you feel."
"But I feel the force." "Anger, anger, fear, aggression," Yoda warned.
"The dark side of the force are they. Easily they flow, quick to join in a fight. Beware, beware, beware of them. A heavy price is paid for the power they bring."
Luke lowered his sword. "What do you mean, price?"
"The dark side beckons. But if you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. Consume you it will, as it did Obi-Wan's apprentice."
"Vader, is the dark side stronger?"
"No, no. Easier, quicker, more seductive."
"But how am I to know the good side from the bad?" he asked, puzzled.
"You will know when you are at peace, calm, passive. A Jedi uses the Force for knowledge, never for attack. Now, clear your mind of questions. Quiet now. Be at peace."
Yoda's words had a hypnotic effect on Luke.
The young student stopped protesting and began to feel peaceful, his body and mind relaxing. His eyes closed, and he let his mind clear of distracting thoughts.
Yoda saw that Luke was as relaxed as he could be at this stage and made the tiniest of gestures. The two seeker balls above his head shot toward Luke, firing stun bolts as they moved. In the same instant, Luke sprang to life and ignited his laser sword. With pure concentration, he began deflecting the bolts as they spun toward him. As suddenly as it had begun, the attack was over. Grinning proudly, Luke looked toward Yoda.
Much progress do you make, young one, the Jedi Master confirmed. Stronger do you grow.
A pair of white armored stormtroopers lifted Captain Nita's lifeless form from the floor of Darth Vader's Imperial Star Destroyer. The Dark Lord turned to Admiral Piet and two of his captains.
Lord Vader, Piet said, our ships have found nothing. The Millennium Falcon definitely went into light speed.
Alert all commands, Vader hissed through his breath mask. Calculate every possible destination along their last known trajectory and disperse the fleet to search for them. Don't fail me again, Admiral.
Yes, my lord, the Admiral answered, trying to hide his fear. We'll find them.
But he was not at all certain that his luck would be any better than that of Ozzel or Nita. As the Avenger glided off into space to continue its search, it carried with it, clinging unnoticed to one side of the huge bridge tower, a saucer-shaped freighter ship, the Millennium Falcon. Inside the Falcon's cockpit, all was quiet. Han Solo had shut down all systems so quickly that even C-3PO was silent. Leia was dubious.
What do you have in mind for your next move?
The fleet is finally breaking up, he answered as he pointed out a port window. I'm hoping they follow standard Imperial procedure and dump their garbage before they go into lightspeed.
The princess reflected on this strategy for a moment and then began to smile.
Not bad, Hotshot.
Then what?
Then, Han said, we have to find a safe port around here.
Where are we?
Let me check my logs, Han said, and began to hunt through the computer readouts.
Aha! He exclaimed. Lando! Now this should be interesting.
I never heard of the Lando system, said Leia.
It's not a system. He's a man. Lando Calrissian, a gambler, con artist, all-around scoundrel, he gave the princess a wink. Your kind of guy. The Bespin system. A Tibana gas mine. Lando won it in a Sabacc match.
Can you trust him? Leia asked.
No, but he has no love for the Empire, that much I know.
The Wookiee barked over the intercom. Han flicked some switches and then stretched to look out the cockpit window.
I see it, Chewie. Prepare for manual release.
He turned back to the princess. Here goes nothing, sweetheart. The hatch on the underbelly of the Avenger yawned open. And as the Imperial Galactic Cruiser zoomed into hyperspace, it spewed out its own belt of artificial asteroids, garbage and sections of irreparable machinery that scattered out into the black void of space. Hidden among that trail of refuse, the Millennium Falcon tumbled undetected off the side of the large ship and was left behind as the Avenger streaked away. The Millennium Falcon ignited its ion engine, and raced off through the train of drifting space junk toward another system. But concealed among the scattered debris was another ship, and now it ignited its own engines. Boba Fett, the most notorious and dreaded bounty hunter in the galaxy, turned his small, elephant's head-shaped craft, Slave One, to begin its pursuit.
This was one reward the fearsome bounty hunter was quite determined to collect. Han Solo lowered his ship through the clouds, and he and his crew got their first glimpse at the gaseous world of Bespin. As he maneuvered through the clouds, they noticed that they were being followed by a twin-pod cloud car. Han was surprised when it began to bank close to the freighter. And then, suddenly, a laser round struck the Falcon's hull and it lurched. The other craft began to transmit a static-obscured message over the Falcon's radio system.
No, Han snarled. I don't have a landing permit. My registration is...
His words were drowned out by a loud crackle of radio static. A moment later, a clear warning voice came over the freighter's speakers.
Stand by. Any aggressive move will bring about your destruction.
I thought you knew these people, Leia chided.
Well, the Corellian hedged. It's been a while. Permission granted to land on Platform 327, the voice said. Any deviation of flight pattern will bring about your...
Han angrily switched off the radio. Why was he being put through this harassment? Wasn't Lando going to let bygones be bygones? By then, they could clearly see the cloud city of Bespin. It was immense and seemed to float in the clouds as it emerged from the white atmosphere. The Millennium Falcon dipped closer to the huge city. Moments later, Han gently brought the Falcon into land on Platform 327. Outside, a welcoming party moved toward the landing platform with weapons drawn. Like any cross-section of the citizenry of Cloud City, this group included aliens, droids, and humans of all races and descriptions. One of these humans was the group's leader, Lando Calrissian, a handsome black man. He stood, unsmiling, waiting for the Falcon's crew to disembark. Han Solo and Princess Leia appeared at the open door of their ship, with blasters drawn. Han surveyed the menacing welcoming party that was marching across the platform toward them.
I don't like this, Leia whispered by his side.
It'll be all right, he said quietly. Wait here.
Han and Chewbacca left Leia guarding the Falcon and walked down the ramp to face Calrissian and his motley army. Calrissian shook his head and squinted at Han.
Why, you slimy, double-crossing, no-good squindler.
I can explain everything, old buddy, Han said quickly.
Still unsmiling, Lando said,
Glad to see you.
Han was skeptical.
No hard feelings?
Are you kidding?
Lando asked coolly. Trying to conceal his growing concern, Han gallantly said,
I always said you were a gentleman.
Calrissian broke into a grin.
I'll bet.
Relieved, Han embraced his old friend. Beyond them, Leia began to walk down the ramp, followed closely by her protocol droid.
Hello, what have we here?
Calrissian welcomed her admiringly.
I am Lando Calrissian, administrator of this facility. And who might you be?
You may call me Leia. Han draped one arm about Lando's shoulder and steered him away from the princess. She's traveling with me, Lando, and I don't intend to gamble her away, so forget she exists.
That won't be easy, my friend, Lando said with a longing look over his shoulder as he and Han began to walk across the landing platform, followed by Leia, 3PO, and Chewbacca.
Calrissian turned to Han.
What brings you here, anyway?
Repairs. Hyperdrive.
I'll have my people get to work on it right away, Lando said. I hate the thought of the Millennium Falcon without her heart.
Han glanced back at Leia.
Lando used to own the Falcon. He lost her fair and square.
The group crossed the narrow bridge that joined the landing area to the city and were instantly dazzled by the beauty of its numerous small plazas
ringed by smooth-edged towers and spires and buildings. "How's your mining operation going?" Han asked Lando.
"Not as well as I'd like. We're a small outpost and not very self-sufficient."
Han's chuckle interrupted him.
"I never would have guessed that underneath that wild schemer I knew was a responsible leader and businessman," he said, and then grudgingly added, "You wear it well."
Lando looked at his old friend.
"Yes, I'm responsible these days. And you know what, Han? You were right all along. It's overrated."
Both burst out laughing as the group moved through the city walkways. C-3PO lagged a bit behind, turning his head back and forth, fascinated by the bustling alien crowds. He passed a door, and it opened, and a silver 3PO unit emerged. C-3PO paused and heard a muffled beeping and whistle coming from behind the door. He peeked in and saw a familiar-looking droid sitting in the anteroom.
"Oh, an R2 unit!"
he chirped in delight and walked into the room. Instantly, he sensed that he and the R2 unit were not alone. Before he could speak, a rocketing laser bolt crashed into his metal chest. His bronzed arms and legs crashed against the walls and settled into a smoldering heap with the rest of his mechanical body. Behind him, the door slammed shut. With every passing day, Yoda grew more pleased with his apprentice's progress.
"Be calm. Through the Force, things you will see."
Luke was losing himself as he concentrated on Yoda's words. "My mind fills with so many images."
"Control, control. You must learn of what you see," the Jedi Master instructed.
Luke relaxed and began to free his mind. At last, there was something, not clear at first, but something white, amorphous. "I see a city."
"Bespin," Yoda identified it. "I see it too. Friends you have there, huh? Concentrate and see them you will."
Luke's concentration intensified. "I see them," he exclaimed, and a sudden agony of body and spirit took hold of him. "They're in pain. They're suffering."
It is the future you see," the voice of Yoda explained.
The future, Luke thought. "Will they die?" he asked, and opened his eyes. Yoda shrugged gently.
"Difficult to see. Always in motion, the future."
Luke stood up and quickly began to gather his equipment. "They're my friends."
"And therefore, decide you must how to serve them best. If you leave now, help them you would, but you would destroy all for which they have fought and suffered."
His words stopped Luke cold. The youth sank to the ground and felt a shroud of gloom envelop him. Chewbacca had grown concerned about C-3PO. Slipping away from the others, he followed his keen Wookiee instincts as he wandered through the unfamiliar white passageways of Bespin. He finally came upon an enormous room in a corridor on the outside of the Cloud City. Inside, he could hear the clamor of metallic objects clattering together. Chewbacca had found a Cloud City junk room. Standing amid the scattered pieces of metal and tangled wire were four grunting hog-like creatures called Ugnaughts on this planet. They were busy separating the junked pieces of metal and casting them into a pit of molten metal. Chewbacca saw that one of the Ugnaughts held a familiar-looking piece of golden metal. The pig-like creature was about to toss the severed metal leg into the sizzling pit when Chewbacca roared. The Ugnaught dropped the leg and ran, to cower in terror with his fellows. The Wookiee grabbed the metal leg and inspected it.
He hadn't been mistaken. And as he growled angrily, the huddled Ugnaughts shivered and grunted like a pack of frightened pigs. Sunlight streamed into the circular lounge of the apartments assigned to Han Solo and his group. Han leaned out of the lounge's large bay window to take in the panoramic view of Cloud City when a door behind him opened. He turned to see Leia standing in the entranceway of her apartment, looking more beautiful than he had ever seen her. And she was looking at him, smiling at his astounded expression. "What are you staring at?" she asked, beginning to blush.
"Who's staring?"
"You look silly," she said, laughing.
"You look great."
Before Leia could respond, one of the doors zapped open and Chewbacca lumbered in, carrying a large packing case filled with disturbingly familiar metal parts. He dropped the case on the table and began to bark and growl in distress. "What happened?" Leia asked, moving closer.
"Chewie went looking for 3PO. He found him in a junk room."
Leia gasped. "What a mess! Chewie, do you think you can repair him?" Chewbacca studied the robot parts, then shrugged his shoulders and howled.
"Why don't we just turn him over to Lando to fix?" Han suggested.
"No, thanks," Leia answered with a cool look in her eyes. "Something's wrong here. Your friend is very charming, but I don't trust him."
"Listen, sweetheart," Han said defensively. "I'm not going to have you accusing my friend."
He was interrupted by a buzz as a door slid open and Lando Calrissian entered.
"Am I interrupting something?"
he asked with a cordial smile. "Not really," the princess said distantly.
"Would you care to join me for a little refreshment?"
Han felt a sudden suspicion about his friend. He didn't remember Calrissian being quite so polite, quite so smooth. His thoughts were interrupted by Chewbacca's enthusiastic bark at the mention of food.
"Everyone's invited, of course," Lando said.
Leia took his proffered arm. As the group moved towards the door, Calrissian glimpsed the box of golden robot parts.
"Having problems with your droid?"
Han and Leia exchanged a quick glance.
"An accident," he grunted after a moment. "Nothing we can't handle."
The group strolled through the long white corridor, Leia walking between Han and Lando. Joining them as they walked was Lando's personal aide.
"So, you see," Lando was explaining, "we are a free station and do not fall under the jurisdiction of the Empire."
"You're part of the mining guild, then?" Leia asked.
"Not actually. Our operation is small enough not to be noticed. Much of our trade is, unofficial.
They approached the dining hall with its massive closed doors, and as they paused in front of them, Chewbacca lifted his head and sniffed the air. He turned and barked urgently at Han.
"Not now, Chewie," Han said, and turned to Calrissian. "Aren't you afraid the Empire might eventually discover this little operation and shut you down?" That's always been the danger," the administrator replied. "But circumstances have developed which will ensure security. You see, I've made a deal that will keep the Empire out of here forever."
With that, the mighty doors slid open, and Han understood his friend's deal. At the far end of the huge banquet table stood the bounty hunter, Boba Fett. He stood next to a chair that held the black essence of evil itself, Darth Vader. Slowly, the Dark Lord rose to his full height.
Sorry, friend, Lando said to Han. I had no choice. They arrived right before you did.
I'm sorry, too, Han snapped and cleared his blaster from its holster.
But the man who may have been the fastest droid in the galaxy was not fast enough to surprise Vader. The Dark Lord lifted a gauntlet-protected hand and effortlessly deflected the bolts zipping across the table at him. Han tried firing again, but before he could, something unseen yet incredibly strong, yanked the weapon from his hand and sent it flying into Vader's grip.
"We would be honored if you joined us," the Dark Lord hissed.